Seated. You can open up to John, Big John, and we're going to go to chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 10. Because we're going to see what Jesus has to say right here. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." And we know who the thief is. It is Satan. "I have come that," and I know it says they, but "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." More abundantly. See, that's our Jesus. And he has promised an abundant life to all who would believe in him. And he can't lie, can he? No, he can't. If you need a scripture on that, go to Numbers 23:19. We won't look at it, but there's one for you. Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for spirit, soul, and body. Abundant life signifies no want or lack, no feeling of hopelessness or emptiness, no dissatisfaction or disappointments. What does abundant life believe? Well, since we live the abundant life, we believe in one God, Creator, and the Lord of the universe, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the unity of the Trinity. We believe the Bible is God's authoritative, inspired word and without error in all its teachings. The word abundant is the Greek word perissos. You say that? Perissos. Try it. Perissos. It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure. Super abundant in quantity. A quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than one would ever expect or anticipate. You wonder where I got that from? That's Strong's 4053. That's where that came from. I don't know about you, but I'm claiming that abundant life. See, simply put, Jesus promises us a life better than we could ever imagine. You get that? You can't even imagine what he can do for you. Because we confine him. Don't confine him. Let the Holy Spirit help you grow to see beyond those four walls that you seem to trap yourselves into. We need to look beyond that. It's beyond what we can think, what we are capable of, what our abilities are. See, it's all about him and what he can do for us if we let him work through us. Praise God. Now, this concept is reminiscent of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's turn there. Look to verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." What's love got to do with it? Everything. We really do not have any idea what He has prepared for us. We don't, because we're limited. We got to stop limiting ourselves and start tapping into the supernatural, because we are supernatural beings. Amen? Amen. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. But you notice the Spirit who? That's a person. It's not an it. Person. You know, and how many times that's been stressed, but we got to remember, Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. It's a third person of the Trinity there. Hallelujah. Now, it's only the Holy Spirit who can reveal the truths of God to us. So when you look at verse 13 there, it says what? These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Paul is emphasizing that the intellectuals of the world could not teach the knowledge he was giving to the Corinthian believers at that time. And what we should take note here, that Holy Spirit did not simply dictate the words to Paul and the other disciples. He more than that, he taught them. He taught them. The apostles related with their own vocabulary and style what they had learned from Holy Spirit. See, because man can't give us this. It's only the Holy Spirit who can. As we read and study God's Word, we need to pray that Holy Spirit would bring clarity and enlightenment to us so that we can live the abundant life promised to us. Holy Spirit is our teacher, and He wants all of us to enjoy all of God's promises. Do you know a believer who constantly prospers and walks in God's goodness? It seems like they have everything, and they always are overflowing with joy, peace, and prosperity. Well, this kind of abundant life is not just for a select few Christians. See, every one of us can enjoy the abundance that flows from our Almighty God, because He is good. Amen? He is good God Almighty. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came so that we may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, to the overflowing. You know what it's like when you overflow, it just runs out everywhere. That's what we're supposed to be living in. Where we're so full, it's just filling us. There ain't no lack when it comes to that. See, God intends for all of His children to walk through our lives abundantly blessed. Abundantly blessed. Yet it's up to us to take it by faith. See, it comes back to us. We start out by saying it with our mouths. Yeah, we're back to the tongue and the mouth again. The same as when Shirley was saying. See, what we're supposed to be using the tongue and a word for. But see, that mouth can do also damage if you don't control the tongue. You can cut somebody up in pieces with your tongue. We don't need to be found doing that. We need to put a guard over these mouths of ours. Hallelujah. It's like what they do. They muzzle a dog. I know quite a few people I'd like to do that too. Praise God. Now in Mark 11:23, it says, "For surely," remember Jesus speaking again, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." I'm going to repeat that. He will have whatever he says. We will have whatever we say. The woman with the issue of blood. She didn't beg for it. She didn't even ask permission. She grabbed hold of the truth, his truth, took what she needed from Jesus, and immediately received her healing. You can turn there to Matthew or to Mark 5. We're going to look at that. Mark 5. Mark 5, chapter 5. You know, the Lord once told Kenneth Hagin, told him this. I want you to listen carefully. Anyone, anywhere, can receive anything they want or need if they just do what she did. That was a word from God to Kenneth Hagin so that he could share that with the people. I'm sharing it with you. Amen? So is there anything you've been waiting for? Yeah? Anything you've been waiting for on God to receive? Think about that for a second. You're there in Mark 5. Look to verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Now Mark was a little upset with the physicians at that time. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She came behind him and touched his garment. This woman had seemingly had, I said seemingly, an incurable condition causing her to bleed constantly. This may have been a menstrual or a uterine disorder that made her ritually unclean. And anyone she touched would become unclean ceremonially for 1 day. Still, she entered the crowd to touch Jesus. Verse 28. Because she speaks out her faith right here. "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Now, another version of that, the Passion Translation, said this, "For she kept saying to herself." She kept saying to herself. What did she keep saying? "If only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. If only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. So she kept saying, we will have whatever we say. But you got in her without doubting. She was not doubting. Well, I could just touch them. I know I'll be healed. You know what's happening? She was trying to figure out a way to get to touch his clothes. So what do we keep saying, though? Mm-hmm. Think about that. What do we keep saying? I'll never get over this cough. It just keeps hanging in there. I've had it for months. That's what we keep saying. Yeah, that's 100% wrong. Did you know it's your God-given right to be abundantly blessed? See, God intended for us to be showered with blessings from the very dawn of creation. I know some of you are nodding. Some of you are saying, yeah, really? Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, I'll let you go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. Are you ready? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. What did he do?
Blessed them.
He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The very first thing God did for Adam and Eve was to bless them. He set a precedence right there. And he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He wants to bless us. Blessing us is so important to God that he left specific instructions in his word about how to receive his blessings. The first step to receive from God is to speak it. Why? Because we are created in God's image, restored to our fullness by Jesus Christ. And therefore, just as God formed the earth with his words, we form our lives with every word we speak. Oh, I don't know. I just feel like I'm losing my family. They're going this direction, that direction. Yeah, threw it all out the window. Don't say those kind of things. They say, Lord, bring them back in. I know that you can. Watch over them. I pray that your ministering angels are out there taking care of them while they're doing their thing. But Lord, I'll bring them back in. Bring the conviction through the Holy Spirit on them. That's the way you go after it. You don't sit there and say, I'm losing my family. Where are they going? No. No. He loves you too much to lose your children. Because see, he set the example. He loves his children. He loves us. So what should we be speaking, huh? That's the right, brother, the word. But what did Jesus do? If you look to John, or Big John there, 12. Big John 12. Verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Well, like Jesus says, what God's word says is what we're supposed to be speaking. Speak the word only. It is written down for us. It's written down for us. If a problem arises, don't complain and go around telling people about it. Instead, find the answer to your problem in the Word, insert your name into the Scripture, and speak only that promise. Job 22. Shirley, you helped me out. You laid it right there, and you don't realize that, I don't think. And so I don't tell nobody what their decree is going to be. I said, you come up with a decree, you pray, let the Holy Spirit. I thought it was pretty well on. Job 22. Verse 27. All right, Job 22, 27, 28. Did I get the right one there? Yeah. Now, I don't know. I must have wrote down the wrong scripture here, but that's not what it is. It said, well, you make your prayer to him. Is that what it is? Excuse me, I was in Psalm. I was wondering, man, that's not right with that either. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hey, that's better. Yeah, that's right there. Okay, verse 27. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare. That's making a decree. Declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light, that's God's favor, will shine on your ways. We make our prayers to him, and then we declare a thing, and it will be established for us. And God will never get mad at us for declaring all day long. He welcomes it. See, it's a great way to build our faith. Do you have something big to believe for? Take your faith and speak up. Because in Matthew 17, 20, Jesus said, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Remember I had that mustard seed that time? Just put it right there. Can you just see that little round seed? That's how small that is. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's faith-driven. See, that little seed, once you start with it, it starts to grow, and it grows into, and a mustard seed tree is an awesome sight to take in. That's what you can grow with your simple little seed. Because see, we've all been given a measure of faith. And it's what we do with it to grow that faith that's in us. And the more we stand in faith for things, the more the faith grows in us. The more we become overcomers. We will not be overcome by the world. No, we will overcome it because of Jesus Christ through us. Hallelujah. Jesus promises that if we apply even the smallest amount of faith, the size of that tiny little mustard seed, and declare, it shall be done for us. I'm not saying that. He's saying that. And get that understanding. Because I take this word for myself when I study it out. With God, nothing is too big, too difficult, or too impossible. You don't believe me? You can look up Jeremiah 32:17 for one of them. How about Luke 1:37? That's just a couple, but there's several other ones in there that tells you, with God, there is nothing that is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Back to Mark chapter 5. Yeah, I got to make sure I'm in Mark now. Mark chapter 5. But again, when we look to verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she heard about Jesus' healing power. She pushed through the crowd and she came up from behind him and touched the tassel of his clothes. That's it, the tassel of his clothes she touched. Doesn't take much. What it does take is faith. Her faith had motivated her to act, to do it, to do it. Have you ever been acting on your declarations lately? Have you been declaring the life Jesus promised? The parousos life? The abundant life? You say that? Parousos? Yeah, parousos. Yeah, P-E-R-S-I-S-O-S. That's a life we're to be living. Claim it. It's yours. In verse 27, the woman with the issue of blood, she what? Acted immediately, though. Immediately. See, because if she had taken some time to think about it, she would have never approached Jesus. She would not approach Jesus. Why? She was risking everything. Everything. Because of her diagnosis, it was unlawful according to Levitical law for her to be outside in the presence of others, let alone in a large crowd amongst Jewish authorities. If she was discovered, she could legally be stoned to death. Yet, she also knew if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be healed. No more doctors. No more quarantine.
Hallelujah.
No more doctors. No more quarantine. Should I risk going out and touch Jesus? Well, what did she say? If I touch that garment, his clothes, I will be healed. She was so sure. She went out into the crowd. She had already activated her faith. Now she just needed to put it into action. Are you ready to take action? The blessings of the Lord are waiting on you too. Just do it. Sometimes when we look to receive big things, hypothetical consequences. Listen, Joey. This because I thought of you. Sometimes when we look to receive big things, hypothetical consequences and what others may think can overwhelm us, bring us into a state of fear and inaction. But see, when I saw that, I said, okay, but he's making steps. Did you hear what he said or Tony said? He come out, he said, go. Healing is manifesting right now. There is no longer pulmonary fibrosis because he's taken authority over it, and that's what he says. Now, I no longer have pulmonary fibrosis. He's taken authority over it. He has been getting hit from every direction there is. They've been coming out against him. Doctors are saying this. Well, we're not sure. We're going to take more blood tests. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then he comes out and says, honey, she says, what's the matter? He says, look, I'm breathing without my oxygen. Whose report are you going to believe? That's right. And that's what we've all been confessing. We're not talking anything other. What have I said? I've said, you're going to be off that oxygen. You're going to be back to riding the two-wheel bike. Not the three-wheel all the time, but the two-wheel. Because Rich is going to come down and you and him are going to go on a bike ride together. Amen? Amen. That's right. Praise God. But we've all been there. Remember that? But see, inaction stops our receiving. We must have corresponding action. So when they tell you don't push it, Joe, you know what they're trying? You know who's telling them to tell you that? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. We love you, Lord. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals these physical bodies of ours. Lord God, we must have corresponding action to what we've declared. After all, it is the willing and obedient who shall eat the good of the land and experience God's goodness. That is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, by the way. Now, Mark here, chapter 5, verse 29. The Passion Translation. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel it in her body, instantly being healed of her disease. Joey felt it. He felt the healing starting. And we got to continue to support him with our prayers. We don't want to talk about it. We want to give glory to God for taking him through it. Full, total recovery. And we do that for Bill Kirby. Same issues, plus a little bit of blood pressure problems. But he covets our prayers. That we're doing great. He's going to let the prayer warriors know. Keep the prayers. I'm getting better. I'm getting better, he said. He never speaks doubt. And that man does not speak doubt. When you're in a battle for a long time, as he's been, Joe's been, come on, some have been in some of these battles. They've been a long time. They seem like they're dragging on forever. We have the victory. We have the victory. We're not going anywhere. You are a living testimony to what God can do. Because as far as they were concerned, they wrote you off, brother. And because someone who was beside you is stubborn sometimes, she wasn't going to let them take her husband. Yeah, I like that. Joe sent me that thing. Jailbreak. I'm out of here. They ain't keep me no more. They aren't doing anything for me. I'm going to go home. And what's he do now? He feeds Rosie and her whole army of raccoons. They come up on the porch, eats with the cats, him and they have a conversation together. Praise God. Dr. Doolittle, you know, right? Talk to the animals. I love it, Joe. I haven't found any raccoons. I got a groundhog, couple squirrels, and got some rabbits, you know, and they all got names now. So Teresa's just having a great time out there. But can you imagine being instantly healed from a deadly disease? This woman with the issue of blood did. She knew she'd be healed if she could just touch the hem of his garment. So she reached out and she took it. She took it. Nobody laid hands on her. She reached out and she took it. Just a touch. That's all it took. We must get a picture of ourselves healed before it has manifested and speak it as this woman did. We got to let the imagination go. We must see ourselves healed. You're in a wheelchair? See yourself healed and walking. You got a cane that you need? See yourself walking without the cane. You're walking with it? That's fine. But see yourself healed. And then start speaking it. Speak that healing. Ah, Jesus. Taking requires active faith. Listen carefully. Having faith in God and His Word is the bottom line answer to every problem. Pretty simple. Here in verse 29, we see this woman's activating and relenting faith bringing her immediate results. See, she was done. She was fed up with it. And she kept speaking her faith that she would be healed. That she would be healed. She could just touch His garment. Receiving blessings comes from knowing how to freely receive from God. It's like receiving a gift. You just take it. You just take it. See, throughout the New Testament, many people received freely from Jesus, very much like this woman did with the issue. Whether it was food, finances, or healing, they jumped at the chance to receive from the Lord. Turn to Mark there, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, Jesus and the disciples. As He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. A profession he chose. Because he really couldn't do no other. But he figured this was the easiest way. It was his way of coming up with it. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. An interesting story. I don't know how true it is, but you remember the guy that was at the pool at Bethesda, waiting to get in for 38 years? Okay. Well, he was 12 when he fell out of a tree. So he was lame. Well, his parents kept taking him to the pool. But every time, somebody would always get there before him. Well, who came in contact with him? Guy walking in a tunnel. But his name was Jesus. And he looked, he says, what do you want? I said, I want to walk. What'd Jesus say? Get up. Get up and walk. And take your mat. And the story goes that as he was trying to get up, he could feel the strength coming into his legs and into his ankle bones. And then he stood up. And he turned around. But Jesus was gone. So he picked up his mat on his way. And then he found out it was Jesus. Now, another young fellow who was blinded, who was friends with him. Okay? Said to his parents, don't be taking me up there. But he'd been waiting 38 years. He's 50 years old, you know. But at 50 years old, the man was healed by Jesus. But blind Bartimaeus said, no, I ain't going to sit up there. I ain't going to spend and waste my life doing that. I'll sit on the road and beg and get. Well, anyhow, the two of them talked, the story goes. He says, you're walking? He says, yeah, you should see me. He said, well, I can't, I'm blind. He said, well, I know that. He said, but I'm letting you know. A guy by the name of Jesus. So when blind Bartimaeus, he decided to go to Jericho, because see, that's the pathway that everybody takes to go to Jerusalem. That was as he was on, Jesus was on his way for the Passover, for the last and final days. Now he's up there. And then he hears him say, that's Jesus. Well, what's he start doing? He knows what he did for his friend. He starts crying out, Jesus! 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? He didn't say, I want you to spit and make some mud pies and put them on my eye. He didn't say any of that. He just said, the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus on the road. He became a disciple of Jesus. That's why he has a name. Mark probably knew him pretty closely, and he was probably involved in the early church. And we missed those kind of connections. But he followed Jesus. So he went all the way. That was the last one he made a disciple, because he followed him. Now look to Matthew chapter 15. You say, where is he going? Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm having fun, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Verse 36. Now, you know, go to 32 so we can give you some background. Now, Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude. What's compassion? Love. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill? Get that? To fill such a great multitude. Now you just remember, it wasn't too long ago that he fed 5,000. And then they questioned him. But Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. What was the question up here? Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. Think about that for a minute. Jesus not only fed them, but he had enough that it was leftovers. Now you figure, okay, 4,000 men, roughly you say, around 4,000 women, somewhere around, just numbers. And you look, and back then, their house was a lot bigger, but based on 3 kids, say. Okay? You know what you're looking at? You're looking at 20,000 people. 7 loaves and a few little fishes. And it was enough that there was leftovers, and they were filled. Same as he did with that 5,000. And them. Do the math there. You're getting close to 30,000 people. He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Incredible what God can do with so little. We can, if we want, to freely receive. See, it's up to us. We need to freely receive from God. It's time we throw away every and any excuses. See, receiving is a big key here. Receiving is in His Word. I won't look up the Scriptures, but I'll give you. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and He gives us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37:4. Everyone who asks will receive. Matthew 7:18. Whatever we ask and believe for, we will receive. Matthew 21:22. Have confidence in God, knowing that we will receive what we've prayed and believed for. Mark 11:24. God wants us to receive. The woman with the issue of blood had no problem receiving. How about you? Mark chapter 5, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in him that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" When she touched Jesus' garment, he felt the power that was tapped into his power grid leave him. His power responded to faith. Her faith. It was her faith that made the withdrawal for the healing. You get that? She made the withdrawal. So what kind of withdrawal would you like to make? Would it be for a new house? How about perfect health? Freedom from debt. Know that whatever we've asked for and put our faith to, we will receive. It doesn't matter if there's no evidence, yet faith is a tangible force that will hold on to it and make it come to pass. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Brother Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, he loves that in the Amplified Classic Edition. If you've ever heard him talk this scripture, he loves it. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. There's no reason to quit or to back down. It's ours. Receive it. Verse 33 and 34. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Honey, it ain't coming back. No. Your health has been restored, is what he was saying. Stand on it, my dear. This affliction shall not come upon thee a second time. Have you ever fallen short, though, on telling your testimony and praising God? See, many of us have. Yet it is vital to give good God Almighty praise, even before we see the evidence. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't wait to be examined by the doctor or to get a clean bill of health. She received her healing and told her testimony. You'd better believe, I'm telling you, that she went her way praising God the whole way. Praise is a game changer. Praise is the big gun of faith. Praise is often the key component to cross over from believing to receiving. Praise will cancel out every fear, doctor's report, or opinion. And it will propel us to victory. See, we're not denying the problem when we praise. We're putting the problem, fear, and the devil on the run. See, it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is or what our bank account says. When we praise, we are denying the problem's right to our life. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Love Him in the morning, love Him in the noontime. Love Him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty, I hope You'll find me. Matter what comes, that's it right there. Because I know where I'd be without Your mercy. As Dean likes to say, French fries! But you see what I'm saying? Praise. Praise. I'm so glad I redid the lineup. You know? It fitted. See, when it's time to praise, it's now. It's now. What you're in, you'll praise Him now. You praise Him for the answer you're believing for. Praise Him regardless of what it looks like. Because if you can't sleep because of pain at night, praise Him. If you start to worry about finances, praise Him. Praise is the key for a great victory. All we need to do is use this mighty weapon we have. Praise Him for the promise. The promised Christos life. One that is exceedingly beyond measure, super abundant in quantity, a quantity so abundant as to be consistently more than what we would expect or anticipate. See, Jesus came to give us life overflowing with God's goodness. So take it by faith today. Don't hesitate any longer. You take it. He wants you to have it. You just got to receive it. See, it's on our end to receive it. And once we start speaking, don't go negative. Negative means it goes to ground. It's not going to do anything for you. Amen? Amen. You know, we're going to end there. But I want to read you this story. Because this is a great example of what we're talking about there. And this was from a conference